And then you have fruitless and wasteful expenditure to the total value of Hurricane 16,000 that was incurred as a result of late submission of VAT payable to SARS without an explanation that is grossly unacceptable. I hope that you will be able to give us an explanation. 2.39 million was incurred due to non-adherence to policies and procedures. I think this is what Honorable Horn has raised. The AG noted material misstatements, and that is what is Honorable Horn has raised, and it's a repeated finding, so nothing was done about it, which is a problem for us. The AG could not obtain sufficient audit evidence for reported achievements in regard to two indicators in 2019 and 2020 annual report. This has increased to 7 indicators in the 2020-2021 annual report. That needs an explanation. For 409 interventions in the performance report, some supporting evidence provided materially differed from the reported achievements. In some instances, the AG was unable to obtain sufficient appropriate audit evidence. This was due to lack of accurate and complete records. That would need some explanation. The Commission reports three quarterly media reports completed. However, the AG could only find evidence for two reports completed. That might need an explanation. Number of communities where the human rights have champions, communities where human rights champions have been established. The Commission reports that the human champions were established in 286 communities. The AG was unable to obtain sufficient and appropriate audit evidence due to lack of accurate and complete records. That would need an explanation. 25 years of celebration events, the Commission hosted 68 celebrations. The AG reports that was unable to obtain sufficient and appropriate evidence due to lack of accurate and incomplete records. That would need some explanation. Some goods and services with a value below 500,000 were procured without obtaining the required price quotation. This is a repeat finding, similar offenses in the prior years. Some of the quotations were awarded to suppliers whose tax matters had not been declared by the SARS to be in order. That would need explanation. Steps were not taken to prevent irregular expenditure. Honorable Swartz, Honorable Horn made reference to that. The AG was unable to obtain sufficient appropriate audit evidence that disciplinary steps was taken against officials who had incurred irregular expenditure. It's a repeat finding. The Commission did not have sufficient monitoring controls to ensure that proper implementation of the overall process of I can't read my own writing, and that is also a report findings. Appropriate levels of management did not monitor adherence to audit plan in a timely manner. That would need some explanation, and why steps were not taken in this regard. The Commission has a risk management committee chaired by the CFO. However, it was unable to meet its target of risk management plan due to low responsiveness. That would need an explanation And one of the issues that we might consider asking is whether your audit committee does in fact sit. So these are the issues that I think in the absence of proper explanation, it will give us serious difficulties. Because I know I've interacted with some of your commissioners, I know that work is being done, but what is in the report, it's totally different. And in most cases, what you cannot report, what you do not have evidence of having done, it's not done. Over to you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've been trying to take notes of the various questions. Maybe let me ask that the question on the CFO should be answered by the CEO. He is best placed to answer that one.
Maybe Chair. Maybe yes. Chair, to be fair to you and to the Commission, because we have asked quite a number of questions, we give you 3 minutes so that you can be able to discuss amongst yourselves as to who answers what.
Yes, Chair, that would be helpful if this platform has got a chat room. I'm not used to.
No, we don't have. We don't have a chat room. We just we always give people when we have asked quite a number of questions. We don't have that issue of chat room. Maybe you can phone one another and discuss. And because yes, just to give you maybe let's. It's 5 past now. Let's meet at 10 past.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, that will serve as a comfort break for members.
Hi, Chair.
Hi, yes. What I'm saying is,
Chairperson, can you start?
Okay. It would seem, I think, that the colleagues from the Human Rights Commission went to a breakaway room. It's a new capacity of Zoom.
Okay.
I was also invited there, but I came back. but yes, it would seem they're there.
Okay. Yes, we always do have when we do our Lekgotla class, but I don't know how it operates.
Yeah,
neither do I, Chair, but may I just give a bit of a clarification that some of the questions will be answered by the CEO.
Yes.
For example, the first question from Honorable Horn, and I will answer the second question on policy choices, but issues relating to finance and funds management, the CEO and his team is going to answer them. And then Commissioner Gum and myself will answer the question on Commissioner Gum and myself will answer Honorable Horn's question. But Commissioner Gum will answer the question on the intervention in schools and the Swartland area matrix question. And then our Chief Operations Officer will answer the question on COVID-19 complaints. And the CEO will answer questions on IT and all the questions raised by the Honorable Chair, because they are finance related.
Okay. But just to add, there are 2 things that I forgot to raise with you, especially your Chair. Last time when you appeared before us, you complained about organs of state or public bodies that do not comply with expire. And we asked you to give us the list of names of those institutions, even if it's departments, so that we can start raising the matter with the relevant bodies and even with the speaker to interact. We have not received anything up to so far. And if you can also, what are the impediments for the implementation of Section 25 and Section 28 of PEPODA, so that where we can assist, we can assist.
Thank you, Chairperson. The first of the questions you have just asked, I will answer. The second one, Commissioner Chauhan will deal with the PEPODA question. So, Chairperson, in respect of the questions that I said I would answer, it's a question from Honorable Horn about the policy choices that the Commission takes and why the Commission has decided to do a hearing in Mpumalanga and not in other places. Of course, the policy choices that we take depend on the circumstances of each case. We have previously indicated that water is a crisis in the whole country. But we are looking at more than just water in Mpumalanga. We're looking at a variety of things that we're looking at. It's not as if we're looking only at water. In Mpumalanga, water is one of those service delivery complaints that we have. We decided to take a number of complaints together and to investigate them together as service delivery complaints. However, we have done hearings into water elsewhere other than Mpumalanga. We've just released a report, I think early this month, on the investigation of water issues in Hammanskraal area in the Tshwane municipal area. We've investigated the Vaal Dam, the Vaal River water problems, and we've done these hearings in other areas. But we feel that we are taking them too piecemeal, and so the Mpumalanga thing was right to do an experimental hearing to cover a lot more. And the idea is that if it works well, we would like to then expand it to the three states, the Western Cape, Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, and other provinces. It is not that we have chosen Mpumalanga because we have prioritized provinces, but also it is not because we're looking at problems of water only in Mpumalanga. We're looking at problems of water in many other parts of the country, and we are engaging with government with regard to that. Commissioner Gam will come in after I've finished, with your permission, Chair. With regard to whistleblowers, I think that the biggest problem that we're having there is that legislation on whistleblowers is not complete. It leaves gaps. To the extent that you will find that NPA will say it is not their mandate to offer protection to whistleblowers who are neither witnesses nor accused persons in any criminal cases, and also the law does not cover people who are whistleblowers outside of their employment area. And you've got a lot of those people who will give, who will do whistleblowing outside their, what we call their employment area. So we find that there is a problem. So there are two things that we have been looking at recently. One, we have been looking at engaging with other NHRIs in different parts of the world and other authorities that deal with whistleblowers, with a view to learning lessons from them, to do research. But more in a more focused way, we're looking at
we are considering whether we should litigate on this matter. And we have taken actually a decision that maybe we need to litigate in this matter, because we cannot say that we've got a constitution that protects all rights, and yet there are people whose rights are not protected. They fall between the cracks. We then also decided that we are going to do an approach on legislative amendments in order to close the gaps. We were at the throes of writing a letter to the Honorable Speaker of Parliament when we decided that maybe our strategy should be enriched, in the sense that we shouldn't just come in as a South African Human Rights Commission alone, but also to engage people who are in the, in a similar position, you know, in a initially in a conference where we can sit down with them and, you know, knit together an approach and so on before we approach the speaker. On our table also is the intention to engage with the Minister of Justice, and if it is possible to draft a model legislation that we can present to the Speaker of Parliament and also to the Minister of Justice, if we can have the support of others who deal with witnesses and whistleblowers like the ICU, sorry, the SIU and others. So that's what we would like to deal with. Then, Chairperson, I would like just to offer a plea of guilty with regards to the complaint that we made about departments not cooperating with us. It has been difficult to really send you the list of people, because circumstances on the ground have changed completely. For example, there were situations where we needed to report certain departments who then came up and they concluded MOUs with us. There were departments where they, you know, when we got back to them, the minister had changed or so, and then the new minister was then cooperative and so on. The problem that we have had, which we have not reported, is at the very low municipal level where, you know, one doesn't have tangible data, but also municipalities are broken, you know, in their nature, and it needs a little bit more to do that. MECs have been coming to the to the party now, and ministers, and so it has been a difficult one to then present. I was speaking with the Premier this morning of the Eastern Cape. We spoke with the MEC. The Eastern Cape was one of the difficult provinces, but last month we were able to have 4 to 5 hours of discussion face-to-face in East London and so on, and to agree to a number of things that needed to be done, establish a structure of what have you, being told that, listen, it was under a previous administration, now this administration has changed, and so on. So I would like to apologize for that, but also to say that may we plead that the door should not shut because we failed to give the names. If situations arise in future that we cannot deal with, that we should be able to bring them. On the one hand, we have got this difficulty that on an ongoing basis, we would like to work with these departments, and so also try to, we're trying to nest the relationship because we get much more mileage when we cooperate, you know. So it's been a difficult one. Thank you. With your permission, Chair, may I ask then Commissioner Gaum to deal with the two issues, after which the Deputy Chair will deal with the issue of PEPUDA, and then thereafter the CEO will take the rest of the question. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Yes, thank you very much, Chairperson. I hope you can see me because I normally the indication.
You're very nice and bright.
Okay. Thank you very much. First of all, just in reply to Honorable Horn's question on how we decide to investigate certain matters in certain municipalities. Obviously, as you would know, in terms of our Act, we investigate matters, complaints that is brought to our attention, or otherwise we can also do own initiative investigations from our side on issues that we decide is of a systemic nature or that should be investigated. And therefore, sometimes you get specific complaints in certain provinces and that emanates in a specific hearing. For example, now on a different topic now, but we have just received complaints from students from the University of UCT and Stellenbosch in the Western Cape that they are required to be vaccinated to be able to register next year. So that might very well come to a hearing. So it's a question of a complaint emanating from a specific province. But we have and are in the process of deciding to really make a focus of municipalities and dysfunctional municipalities in particular throughout the country. You have all seen the out of order index of Media 24, which to a very large extent has done some monitoring in various areas, which can be of great assistance to the Commission to know exactly where to focus. We have already started focusing on municipal delivery in Mpumalanga as such. So we're going to have a broader focus in terms of dysfunctional municipalities. And secondly, on the matter of the matters raised by the Honorable Neo Drukhan, as far as the schools for the deaf protest intervention update on that, I've been trying now to get hold of our provincial manager in Gauteng, Buang Jones, on the update there. I could unfortunately not. But on the 18th of June 2021, we did issue a statement indicating that we are investigating the issue specifically in this regard, specifically in the Ekurhuleni School for the Deaf in Katlehong. It's an investigation that we initiated following recent protests at the school over lack of nutritional meals for learners living with disability, lack of hot water, and overcrowding at the school. So I'll find out what the latest update is and get back to the committee and Honorable Neil Drukhan as far as that is concerned. The Swartland matter that she raised, I would really invite her to, maybe just write me a message or an email so that we can look into the details of that specific one. I will also check with the Western Cape Provincial Office if they have received complaints in this regard. And that is also what committee members need to understand. You know, it's either through complaints normally or even through the media or issues that are directly raised with the commission by public representatives or whoever that we actually get to know about the specific instance and then get to investigate that. Yes, I think that is all from my side in reply. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Chair, may I proceed?
Yes, you can proceed, Commissioner.
Thank you so much. The question of section 2528 of PEPUDA, 25 relates to the duty of the state to promote equality, and 28 relates to special measures to be put in place to promote equality with regard specifically to race, gender, and disability. I must say, while I haven't quite studied the reasons for the sections not being enacted as yet, what strikes me as one possibility is the articulation in 28.3b related to action plans that each organ of state and government would need to devise, and words such as prioritize are used. So I am, while I'm not specifically clear on why these sections remain not enacted, what I do note, Chair, is your raising this issue with the suggestion that the Portfolio Committee would want to assist in implementing these sections. And to that end, perhaps what we can do is we can submit to you something in writing that would aid and assist us to get moving on these sections, if that would be acceptable.
Well, that would be very much acceptable, Deputy Chair.
Maybe if I can just help a little bit there as well, there is a new amendment bill to PAPUDA that you might be aware of, or maybe it is still with the Department of Justice. So as they are coming up with a new dispensation pertaining to this, and are suggesting there, actually, if I can remember well now, that it should rather be part of the strategic plans and ops plans, and then also annual report of the departments, to which the Commission, if I recall well, has actually reacted positively. So maybe that is why it is, you know, something that is work in progress from that perspective, and a sort of a bit of a different dispensation that they are envisaging as far as the plans are concerned.
Okay. Now, I think as much as you would assist on your side, but I think we will ask the minister as to give us an update as to why these have not yet been implemented. So if they're envisaging a situation where they are amending, so they must advise us as such, but we cannot have a law passed and not being implemented. And then the question would be, what was the reason for it to be passed in the first place? So it would be important that we are advised that, no, we have foreseen these difficulties, so we want to amend the legislation. But it will be important that we act on the basis of full knowledge. Thank you, Chair, Prof. Who is leading us on other questions?
Thank you, Chairperson. It's the CEO, and we would like to ask that, in addition to the answers that we give here at this meeting, that we actually also compile written questions, which will be much more in-depth in response to these questions. The CEO and his staff.
Okay.
May I proceed, Chairperson?
I can proceed, CEO.
Thank you, Chair. In the 25 years of the history of the Commission, I don't think we've had more than five qualified audits. We've had a number of clean audits. We've received awards from the AG for the work we've done. So we are also quite concerned about the current state of affairs, which has led us to this situation. And we're really trying our level best to try and address these issues. But there are a number of answers to some of these issues. And hence our request, with the Chair supporting that, we must give the Portfolio Committee a full detailed account so that we get a better idea, you know, as to where the problems are and how they happened. But just to say, Chair, without really making an excuse, on the 6th of December 2018, we parted ways with our CFO. We only replaced our CFO in April this year. So you can imagine, for over 2 years, we've been having our staff members at level 12 acting as a CFO and until we got a CA in April this year, who unfortunately, because of COVID, she lost her husband. She also contracted COVID-19, and then she was actually on sick leave for almost 2 months. Until then, she came back to say she cannot cope, and she has to resign, unfortunately, to be with her family. So we've been allowed her to leave much earlier than that. So we lost a lot of time. That was our plan, basically, to try and recover from the challenges we've had. So that is one of our major problems. The second one, members of the committee, was that when the audit began this year, we had actually moved offices. We moved off from office in April, in March last year. So all our documents were in storage. So getting some of the information was really proving to be a challenge. And of course, we did raise this thing with the AG, but unfortunately, we could not provide some of the information on time. But certainly, there were problems of poor record keeping. There was also problems really in how information is collated. So those we are addressing. Now, we do have an audit committee chair, which I'm really happy with. It has been meeting quite regularly. They are doing a sterling work. They have been raising concerns as well, you know, about many things in the secretariat in terms of our performance indicators, but that also we're shooting ourselves in the foot, that we take too much work and then we tend to minimize on issues of corporate services, which really matter at the end of the day, because, you know, we can do amazing work, but if our audits are not good, then it does, create a cloud over our heads. Now, we have also been without the CIO. We haven't had one, actually. We've been trying to appoint the CIO for the past 2 years. We are battling to find the CIO. We have, we have had people with MBAs and CAs. Some don't show up. Some basically, don't pass the competency test. So now we're stuck again after three attempts without a CIO. So again, it's an issue which we have to address as soon as possible in that manner. Hello?
Zolile, can you mute yourself? Proceed, CEO.
Yes. So we'll, as I was saying, then we'll actually give a detailed explanation to all the points which have been raised. Now, on the issue of the no consequence management, when the AG made this finding, one of the reasons was that colleagues had not obtained authorization from Treasury, and we still had to apply for it. It was applied, but Treasury said, no, we need to set up a loss committee to actually show that there was no fraud in that regard. The loss committee has been set, but unfortunately, by the time the AG came, it had not finalized its work. Now, that was one of the reasons, and we cannot really exercise any consequence management without a recommendation as to whether there was fraud or not. But the loss committee is in place, and we hope that it will soon finalize its work. Now, as I was saying, then one of the problems, unfortunately, is that, working from home, it also meant that, colleagues in the provinces also, had major problems in providing necessary information on time, as well as record keeping. So now, basically, we are trying to find a good record keeper, but that's why we're also trying to digitize all our records so that we don't have these problems in future. The Treasury has actually given us money. We'll be issuing a tender now, basically, to get a digitization of our records, so that at least we don't really have this problem. So in a nutshell, Chair, these are some of the problems, but we'll give detailed responses to all these issues about all indicators, issues of irregular expenditure and stuff like that. But all I'm just saying, Chair, is that it will also be important to take into account that after 25 years, the Commission has really been doing quite well in terms of managing its resources. And these issues are of concern to us as well, and we'll definitely do everything to sort them out as soon as possible. I don't know if my colleagues want to add in any case. Laurie?
Thank you, CEO. Afternoon, Chair, honorable members. I think that it would be safer for us to answer their questions, perhaps on paper and give more in-depth details. You know, for instance, on the VAT query that the chairperson raised about being a prior issue, that was a situation where the VAT Act was changed because we are exempt from VAT, where the clause was changed to say that if we receive goods or services in South Africa from an international company that is not VAT registered in South Africa, and if we are not going to use those goods or services in order to create an unsaleable product, then we need to pay VAT on that. So largely, this really obviously was 98% about software licenses, the Microsoft licenses and that we had to then go back and just to get the record, we got the records out for SARS, we worked with SARS and we settled that. So that was the only issue on the VAT that was raised, and it was sorted out the minute that SARS raised it with us. And we have picked up that many people were unaware of that. So it's not an excuse, but that was, for instance, the response to that. But we can get more in-depth information if we respond through writing. We did also would like to expand on the matters where the tax matters were, you know, tax certificates, but tax clearance certificates are not up to date. A large portion of that was really on lawyers that we would use in urgent matters, and then only to find out that the tax matters are not completely up to date. So I think, yes, I'm repeating myself. I think if we do rather write it down and give proper examples and situations and cite the exact facts, it would help better for your understanding. Thank you.
Thanks, Laurie. CEO, I don't know if you want to say anything.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, CEO. Perhaps, CEO, I should then come in on the responses to the question around the COVID-19 complaints, or should I wait until the discussion on the finances is complete?
No, proceed.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. I will give a summary of the complaints to the Commission during this financial period, but also a snapshot of some of the complaints at present, Chair. During this period, the Commission received some 673 COVID-related complaints and inquiries. 221 of these were actual complaints that needed to be recorded as complaints, and the other requests to the Commission were dealt with as inquiries. In terms of the geographical spread of complaints, Chair, we saw the highest volumes of complaints being reported in the Gauteng Provincial Office, and then reasonably high volumes being recorded in the Free State and Northwest provinces as well. For the period ending September, in September, the Commission has received about 59 complaints. Chair, again, with the highest complaints this time geographically allocated in the Eastern Cape Free State, and surprisingly, no COVID-related complaints submitted to our Limpopo offices. In general, Chair, the response of the Commission to the COVID-related complaints at the early stages of the pandemic and the declaration of the state of national disaster was to convene a rapid response center with the multidisciplinary task team, which we referred to internally as the COVID-19 nerve center. Through this mechanism, the Commission was able to rapidly engage with stakeholders to resolve violations reported or concerns that members of the public had brought to our attention. In this way, we saw some of the highest number of frequently occurring complaints, largely around South African nationals who were abroad and unable to return, complaints relating to freedom and security of the person impacted by lockdown regulations and so forth quite quickly resolved. Our commissioners who participated in this mechanism were quite quickly able to engage with leadership in government departments to secure early resolution. We also saw some volumes in relation to social support. And again, we were able to intervene around unlocking accesses to these services. Three matters went into litigation, are in progress at the moment. The one involves exclusion of certain categories of artists, particularly those that are not registered to social support. That matter is quite close to conclusion, the litigation. And two where are in progress at the moment in the Free State and Northwest around, apologies, Chair, in Gauteng and the Northwest around police brutality and SANDF brutality during the state of lockdown. Chair, I should add that during the national state of disaster at its highest levels, when schools shut down, the commission also monitored some 270 schools in the country, testing largely compliance and access to school nutrition programs. In the Northern Cape, for instance, inspections at a school in Pietersburg resulted in an immediate response where we found that learners did not have adequate PPE masks and so forth. And the DBE was engaged in the Northern Cape and remedial action taken quite rapidly. We also saw the commission then intervene at a strategic level to resolve general concerns around access to food for learners, but also concerns with the levels of access to water and sanitation, including interim access, which we found to be most pronounced in Limpopo and in some of the schools in the Eastern Cape and Mpumalanga. These matters are continuing to receive heightened attention now in terms of the steps the commission will take. There were also engagements with the Minister of COCTA, particularly sharing our concerns around violations to the right to housing and debt collections, credit arrangements. We were able to provide and make substantive input to the minister and the task team working on regulations, and we were able through the intervention to secure commitments evidenced in the regulations towards moratoriums on evictions and so forth. In general, we saw the highest violations occurring around freedom and security of the person. During the lockdown, we received complaints as well, requesting the commission to secure the approval of the use of ivectomin by SAHPRA, and certainly, as I've mentioned, complaints around social security. Complaints relating to the violation of labor-related rights were also quite high, Chair, but many of these matters were referred to the CCMA being more appropriate to be handled by that body. Chair, in general, that is a very broad summary of some of the complaints and a snapshot of the complaints we received as a commission up until in September. But perhaps to highlight and use the opportunity to share with the committee that some of our protection-related work was quite impacted and delayed because of COVID, insofar as inspections and on-site visits were concerned. We did experience some delays, but have been able to catch up on those investigations. Similarly, we did experience challenges because of restricted access to the courts. Chair will recall that for a time during level fours, access was restricted. only to urgent matters. But these matters are now back on the roll and are proceeding. So we do hope to cover lost ground in respect of litigation. Thank you, Chair. That concludes the summary. I would happily provide more detailed information if required.
Chair?
Yes, sir.
I've got Ms. Fadla Adams who wants to respond from our side.
Good afternoon, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Thank you, CEO. I am just responding to the question around the outstanding documents that was requested after our last or during the last annual briefing last year. And I am flighting the evidence that it was in fact submitted to Parliament, to the committee, and that includes all the non-compliant municipalities as listed in the Excel spreadsheet, as well as, and I'll just do a quick scan on that one. Our response covered the donor funding policy and strategy, which was raised, the Isidimeni update. This time around, we again submitted an Isidimeni update together with our annual report presentation last week. And in the Castor Semenya matter, which was requested by the committee, and then point 4 and 5 speaks to the non-responsive or non-compliance with the PIA request as per respective provinces. So that was in fact submitted to the committee. I just wanted to clarify that point in case the impression was created that we perhaps didn't respond accordingly. Thank you so much, Honourable Chair.
Chair of the Commission, are all your people responded to the questions? Have all your people responded to the questions?
Thank you, Chairperson. I am of the view that yes, they have, and also of the view that we will also put written responses back to the committee. May I please ask how much time should this happen? Honourable Horn had said there should be a time fixed, and so. But it wasn't mentioned. But we would like to do it as soon as possible, of course.
No. Thank you very much, Chair. And thank you to the Commission. Let me first make these observations that the report from the AG was before you for some time. And these things that we have raised have been in front of you for some time, and that you do not have answers and you still want to respond in writing, for me is not good enough. But I think let's deal with this thing this way. We would want to talk to you as the Commission. You are the people we took to the National Assembly, voted for, have confidence in on behalf of the people of South Africa. This Commission cannot collapse in front of you. We want to have a clean audit in the next financial year. Repeat offending should be the thing of the past. We cannot have a report from the Human Rights Commission, of the Human Rights Commission, where the Auditor General has these findings. That you have been good for the past 25 years does not make you to be good now. What we have in front of us is that the Auditor General cannot even account for the activities that you have been doing. Now, Commissioner Nissen? The Auditor General could not find records to prove what you are saying you have done. And that is generally an indicative of a collapsed organization. Now, we're not talking to the administration was appointed by you, they report to you. We are talking to you as commissioners. This is absolutely unacceptable. Totally unacceptable. So we would want to have a clean audit. We would want to this issue of irregular and fruitless expenditure to be addressed. We want a functional organization. You must bear in mind that there are other organizations, all of them have come before us with serious funding problems, but they do not have the type of report you have. They do not have. So we can't sit in the next financial year or even during the BRRR, go to Parliament, stand before the people of South Africa and say the Human Rights Commission must be given more money. On what basis? When it does not keep even records. Then the people of South Africa have got the right to say we're taking them for a ride. So this organization is entrusted upon you. If it collapses, it will reflect you. You must whip your administration to line. We generally can't, because I hear Honorable Horn that there must be responses. The question would be, you'll be explaining to us why you have repeat findings on issues of record keeping. What we can do is when we come back next year after the State of the Nation, we can have a meeting with yourselves to check how far are you in terms of dealing with the issues that we have identified. But we don't want to establish a culture where we say it's no, you can explain yourself out of non-delivery. We can't tolerate it. We can't accept it. So when we come back from recess after the State of the Nation, we will call you and we look at progress on all of the issues that we have identified so that we can see, because as generally as the portfolio committee, we are now tired of plans and repeated plans when there are no results corresponding to the plans. So we will be meeting with you around March to generally check on progress made, but by the end of the financial year, we want a clean audit. Thank you very much, Chair. Let me give you this opportunity for closing remarks before we adjourn.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, members, distinguished members of the Portfolio Committee. We appreciate the fact that we have to account to you, as you rightly say, that we need to account to you, and we're going to take this challenge
quite seriously, and we will look into these difficulties and actually design a plan and solve them so that we could give some progress, meaningful progress by the end of the financial year in March next year. Of course, much of the water has flowed under the bridge. So I cannot guarantee that, of course, everything will be fine, because Chinese said you say you cannot touch the same water twice in the river. But we'll do the best we can. We'll have a look and see what we're going to do. We'll start by responding to the questions immediately. But I think going forward, we need actually to roll up our sleeves and find out where the problems are, and we deal with those problems. And if there are problems that are beyond our own, above our own shoulders, may I please indicate that I'll make a knock on your door if I feel that perhaps you may move the mountain somewhere to get this right. I agree with you that as a Human Rights Commission, everybody looks up to us, and so we need not to confuse the public, you know, as to what is proper and desirable in this democracy, and we can confuse the public through our actions. So we'll look at that. But we would like to thank you very much, and to wish you well in the demanding work that you're doing.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you to the commissioners and to the members of the South African Human Rights Commission. And to the members, the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you.